Well, good morning, Park Avenue. Good morning. Never imagined I would stand here to say those words, but I count it a privilege to be with you this morning. What a morning. Oh my gosh, you know, it's not like you need a sermon now after such fabulous testimony that comes in a time of prayer. Amen. When we're invited to confess our idols that get in the way, you know. And such a time of a congregation belting out, "O come, O ye faithful, come and worship Him." That's what we're here for. That's what you've done. And then the glory bees, oh my gosh, you know. And then, do you hear what I hear? I mean, if you haven't heard it yet, you're probably not going to hear it. But I've put a lot of work in on what I'd like to say to you, so I'm going ahead anyway, and I can hardly see that clock back there, so you're in trouble. You may be asking, who is this, and why is he here? That's a valid question. I've been asking that this week as I finished preparations. But I'm Phil Strom, and my wife Alice is with me. I ask her to stand. You know, one thing you need to know about me is that I am married to an angel. So when we talk about angelic words and the presence of Christ in the words that are sung and said, and I'm married to an angel. Alice is a retired early childhood special education teacher. She turned a career into a ministry, working with families who have children who have special needs. And she brought grace and hope to them in ways that just were a ministry. And I'm privileged to get to call her my partner. So over 30 years she did that. And myself, almost 40 years of pastoral ministry in the United Methodist Church. And so, yeah, I am a United Methodist minister. Some days you want to hide, but not today and not usually. And served a number of appointments. One of our favorites was at a little church called Little Prairie. It's just south of Northfield. And we lived in Northfield, which means for 16 years, we were in the same county as your pastor, Will Healy, and same ministerial, and I got to know him in a lot of ways that all led to a great friendship. I mean, Will was not just a pastor at Emmaus Baptist. Will was the pastor for Northfield, especially in times of trouble and crisis and when we really needed to, as a community, to turn to a spiritual giant. We're privileged to have Will and to know Will. It was an honor to serve with him in some community settings, you know, Thanksgiving services and community times of prayer, and then to stand next to him and other colleagues on 9/11. Just an honor to be part of the ministry that Will and Julie were a part of. I also did some things that were not so memorable. I was once part of an accordion choir with Will Healy. And I think Will should stick to the harmonica, and I should be a spectator. But it was fun, and I was smart enough to not play basketball with the man, but I was on the golf course with him a couple times. Oh my gosh, can he hit a golf ball? And just privileged to know him, appreciate his sense of humor and how it was as, I'm just a little older than Will, but some of the signs must have been there. We were police chaplains together, kind of on a rotating basis, you know, somebody they could call if there was a need. And we were at our training with the police one day and filling out some cards to get ID badges. And Will is paging through the information, and he says to the rest of the chaplains, he says, "Yeah, I see Strom is still claiming to have hair that's black." So, Well, I just want you to know I treasure Will and Julie, the friendship we have, count him as a colleague. I'm thrilled he's the pastor here at Park Avenue, and I treasure him as a brother in Christ. So, Alice and I both retired, so we've visited Park a few times. We've visited a lot of churches, kind of looking for a church home. We came here initially because Will was here and wanted to hear him. Discovered he's always on vacation or Lena's preaching. And so, but you know, we fell in love with the kind of worship that you just had, the kind of atmosphere that was here on Sundays when Christ is so present in the words that are said, the words that are sung. You can't miss it here. You leave this place remembering, because you've been reminded by a lot of folks, and Will was one of them, but you've been reminded that in fact there is hope. And so we choose to make this our place. And then Elena calls me and asks if I would share in some of the preaching while Will is absent. And so here I am today. In Advent, matter of fact, almost Christmas. Christmas so close, we sang Christmas Carol. Yeah. We sang all about these songs about seeing Him face to face. That is what today is about. That is what Christmas is all about. Emmanuel, God with us. Not just some concept, not just some historical topic, but that's what it's all about. God coming to you, coming to me, and you can see in Jesus, you can see God face to face. So then Elena gives me the topic. You know, we've been working on these topics of hope. She started out, you know, reminding us that hope has to have deep roots. It can't be superficial. Hope is not wishful thinking. That's what my hope usually is, you know. I'm usually hoping this or wishing that. And, you know, you hang around the Vikings or my Chicago Cubs very long, that wishful thinking, although a year ago the Cubs, you know. Yeah. But Elena, remind us, it has to be deep. You got to root it in something deep, something deeper than you, something deeper than me, something everlasting like Almighty God. You root your hope there. And then it really shines in the times when they seem like the worst. That's when hope, real hope, shines. And then I was here when Curtis DeYoung helped us unpack that. He said, in fact, the hope you find in God is the kind that allows you to pull together, to kind of come together as a team, that's what church is. People of God coming together with a force that is unquenchable and a force that can change, transform tragedies and wrongs. That's hope, you see. And last week, Steve confirmed it. He reminded us that hope gets most real. It is most visible when you deliver it. When you deliver it. Oh, it starts to get personal, you see. We know hope came down at Christmas. Love came down at Christmas. Face to face, God with us, Emmanuel. But Steve reminded us hope gets real when you deliver it. And then Elena gave me the title or the topic, Hope Returns. I never thought about that. You know, if you've been in the church for a long time, you just think hope's here. Sometimes it doesn't seem like it, but it's here. Hope returns. It sort of assumes that at some point it left, or it went missing, or it got lost, or it was destroyed. And then we have the glory bees remind us of those great words that Henry Wadsworth Longfellow penned. You know, he's the one that wrote that, I Heard the Bells, back a century plus ago in the time of the Civil War. That came from Longfellow. And Longfellow was a man that was acquainted with the reasons we sometimes lose hope. Longfellow was, unfortunately, just a couple of years before he wrote this poem, he lost his wife. Her dress caught fire, and she was killed in the fire, and he was so badly burned in that fire that he couldn't even attend her funeral. So he was one acquainted with tragedy. He was a man that forged ahead into the years after her death as a single parent. He had 5 children to raise up, all kinds of ages, 2 boys and 3 girls. They'd lost one in infancy, but 5, wondering, where's mom? His oldest, Charlie, sometime in 1863, signed up with the Union troops to take his stand against the evils of slavery. And Henry was hoping that he might get some kind of a commission that would keep him safe or out of harm's way, as you can imagine, a dad's love for his son. But it was in December of 1863 when Longfellow got a telegram saying that his son Charles had been seriously wounded in a battle and was fighting for his life now. So a couple weeks later, it's Christmas Day. That's when this was written. Christmas Day. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet, the words repeat, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day, a voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men. But you know what was going on at that time, and the next verse you never hear. Then from each black accursed mouth the cannon thundered in the south, and with a sound the carols were drowned of peace on earth, goodwill to men. It was as if an earthquake rent the hearth stones of a continent and made forlorn the households born of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair, Longfellow writes, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong, and it mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth and goodwill to men. Oh, I thank God for the glory bees, for the reminder. We thank God for these ancient words written in the turmoil of a nation divided, a time when the future was so uncertain, a time when unfairness was lurking around every corner. And Longfellow pins these words to remind us that on Christmas Day, we know about a hope that will not be undone. Now, I'll tell you what. If we don't tell that story, if we don't sing it out, if we don't let our words and our actions tell that kind of good news, you know what the scriptures say? The very rocks will cry out. And that is why I'm here today. It's to announce that, in fact, there is hope. But even more so, the fact that there's hope is so often lost upon us, as we heard in Aaron's sweet prayer, having to confess so often our idols so easily distract. And I'm here to invite you and to remind and invite myself to embrace that hope today anew, again, maybe for the umpteenth time, maybe for the first time. But I'm here to invite you to embrace that kind of hope. That is why I'm here. And I just want to give you a little preview that when I'm finished, which is, you know, there's no game today. Well, when I'm finished, I'm going to invite you. Some of you are going to come down. We're going to gather right down here. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing magic about this altar. We don't believe in magic. But this altar is wood, which was fashioned and consecrated for a reason, because this altar is a place where people come to claim miracles. And that's what we're about at Christmas. We're about miracles, not magic. So I'm going to invite you. And some will stay, and God will do His business with you in the pew, but some will come, and that's just fine. Because the whole idea is you don't leave this place without somehow welcoming the King of Kings, the source of hope, into your life. That is why we're here. So, now, here's the problem. The problem is, I have chased empty dreams before. Anybody else? Anybody else? Sometimes, you know, hope that the rules and the law would deliver justice. Anybody else lost some time choosing a way that was contrary to that of the, quote, wonderful counselor, thinking because it seemed like the right way, I'll try that way, and turned out it was without hope. It seemed good. I discovered that, in fact, the only time that real hope goes missing is when I turn away and take my eyes off Jesus. Trouble is, as we heard in Aaron's prayer, that's often. Anybody else think about themselves sometimes more than others? For me, it particularly happens on the highway. You know, I am the best driver. And that guy, And see, when my own desires get in the way of thinking about others, I mean, that can happen so easily. Just stand in line at the grocery store, at the post office. And I've discovered there are idols I need to confess, you see. Sometimes I look around at my neighbors and, well, they might not keep their house or their cars or their yard or raise up their kids quite according to my standard, you know? Anybody? Oh, that didn't happen to you. Well, I'd like to be your neighbor. It's easy to lose sight of hope. Sometimes we rely on the wrong people. The wrong person. Sometimes we trust in the wrong things. There are days where I look in the mirror and I say, oh my gosh, there's no hope. You read the newspaper, you listen to the news, you see it on television. It'd be pretty easy to start thinking that hope is lost. Have I got news for you? Have I got news for you? I want you to turn to the gospel reading. There's a Bible someplace close to you, and it's worth it to find it because it's a long reading, and when I read it, you'll get lost. Your thoughts will go elsewhere, like Aaron said. We get easily distracted. And there's some treasure here. I have a colleague that was talking about great verses in the Bible. He'll sometimes say, you know, there's some great articles in that book. And there are. Now, we're in the gospel according to Luke. It's the second, Matthew, Mark, Luke. It's the third gospel. We're in the second chapter. It's the third gospel, New Testament. We discovered that in the pews there are different versions of the New Revised Standard Version. Some of them it's on page 58, some it's on page 54, and some of them it's a different Bible. But I hope you can find Luke in the second chapter and take these words in as I read them. You've heard this before. Just the other night it was on television. Linus was reciting it by heart to Charlie Brown. I always weep at that one. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to their towns to be registered. Joseph also went to the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For see, I'm bringing you the good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." And so they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. And when they saw this, they made known all that they'd been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. This is a great story, you know. Tremendous story. We've heard it many times. It's all about this long journey and this pregnant mom and a dad that, gosh, he doesn't know quite what to do. And they get to Bethlehem and there isn't any room for them. And so then there's this stable and there's these swaddling cloths and then there's this manger. And then the story tells us there's angels. Angels. And the angels are there to help shepherds, and not only shepherds, but you and the likes of me, to understand what all this other stuff is about. The angels are there to make sure we heard the words, "No more fear." There's no more fear, because there's good news and there's joy. And hear this, it is for everyone. There's no one left out here. That's good news to a world like ours today. No one is left out. The good news of God coming in the flesh is for everyone. And then the angels say, "You will find him wrapped in cloths." Well, I had never thought about that line so much as I did this past couple weeks. You will find him wrapped in cloths. You know what that means? That's what the angels are telling the shepherds. You get up now, go. It's not just an announcement for you to listen to. You will find him, so you go and seek him out. You take him in. You go and see this thing that has happened, because this is what changed everything. God coming in the flesh. Never heard of such a thing. Some people call this the hinge of history. I love that. All of history. Every moment that's ever been. I don't want to argue about how long that is. Doesn't matter. This is the hinge. This is what made all the difference. God coming in the flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. That's what matters, you see. God takes up residence in human flesh. You know, the fancy theological word that Will Healy would lay on you right now? Incarnation. You heard that, you know? Incarnation. That just means incarnate, in the flesh. But here's what it really means. God has come to take up residence in you and in me. And that is the hope of the world, you see. That God could invade the human frame of a loser or a winner, of a king or a pauper, that God would come and weave his spirit into every fiber of your being. And I'm telling you that when that happens, Romans 8 comes true. And Romans 8 tells us that nothing, death or life, angels or demons, nothing present, nothing that might happen in the future, there aren't any powers, there's no height, no depth, nor nothing else in all creation that can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Now that's hope, you see. We're not talking about circumstances that don't look so good, because we all live in the midst of them today. But that does not diminish hope. This is the hope of the world, and this is the Christmas miracle. And here's the offer. Christ in you. Christ in me. The Spirit of Christ growing within us. The fact is, every soul in this building today, not one of us can get along very well without a wise counselor. Every one of you that can hear my voice, and in fact, even all the people on the planet that cannot hear my voice, God loves every single one of them. Is that not good news? That's how mighty is our Father. The fact is that if we're going to put away hatred, if we're going to put away war, it will take a divine love. And the Scriptures today tell us, in fact, that now the Prince of Peace has come. So yes, Bethlehem and swaddling cloths, manger, and in the midst of everything earthy and all kinds of unexpected things, hope is here. And the key to hope is you and Jesus, and me and Jesus. Hope is always here, you see. It's always here. But you will have it when the story becomes your story. And I have hope, because his story has become part of my story. And that is hope that does not disappoint. I'm telling you, 2 weeks ago at the Christmas choir concert, how many of you were here? Some of you miss a great day. But you know what? That day our friend Will, he was here. Most of us didn't know it. We're sitting out there where you're sitting, and we didn't know it, and we heard this massive, wonderful concert. The joys and the promise of Christ lifted up. And then at the end, Pastor Steve gave that invitation to have people come to find the hope of Jesus Christ, to come down, especially if you're broken. And you know, it was quiet for a minute, and then all of a sudden, right there down that aisle, Pastor Will came down that aisle. And he knelt right here at this railing. And I'm here to tell you today that he did not come because he's lost hope. That is not why he came here. He did not come down here because his wishes weren't coming true. He did not come for that reason. He came because his hope is in Christ. And he wanted to honor that again. And Steve's inviting those who are broken and need a Savior. And here's Will to kneel down and bow down to the King of Kings once more. That's hope, you see. He has that hope. The fact is, hope, though it seems to get lost or destroyed, it can't, because it's bound up in the everlasting Christ. And hope returns. It returns whenever I admit that I need Jesus. That's when hope returns. Hope comes back whenever I turn to the Savior, whenever I acknowledge my need, whenever I plead for His forgiveness. That's when hope returns. And then whenever I offer, whenever Christ in me would dare to offer forgiveness to someone, hope returns then, you see, because it's in Him. Hope comes back when we take our cues from Jesus on an ordinary day, on the freeway, whether someone's cutting you off or you're pulling over to help someone with a flat. Hope returns, you see. Hope returns when Christ is reflected in the words you use. And hope returns when your actions show His love to all. And here's the thing. We sing the song. John Wesley, he said he had to recommit his life to Christ every day. Not every day, every hour. That That's how it is with me. I don't know about you. We sing that song, "O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend on us, we pray. Cast out our sin, enter in, be born in us today." That's today, you see. That's now. That's now. See, when Jesus takes up residence in us, we not only discover hope, but we become hope. And the world needs hope, and Christ is counting on us. You see, you know this, that apart from God, I'm lost, you see. Apart from God, I'm a wreck. Actually, I'm hopeless. But you know this, with God, I can do all things. That's right. And so, I want to invite you that if hope has been missing, if you think hope has been missing, well, hope is right here. Christ is here. It is not lost. If you think hope's been lost, here's the good news. Christ is seeking you. Christ is coming after you. He's looking for you. He cannot be destroyed because He invites you to receive Him still. He's everlasting. So I'm going to invite you. I'm going to invite you to come. I'm going to come, and some of you will come here and bow down. Some of you will kneel. Some of you will stand. And some of you will stand where you are, and some of you will sit where you are. But I'll invite you to come. You can come right now. And we're going to bow down, and we're going to welcome in the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who offers hope that will not disappoint, does not disappoint, will never end, cannot be destroyed. I don't know what it is that causes you to have days where it seems like hope is lost, but I have those. But when I turn to Him, when I remember He's my Savior, when I decide that in fact, hey, I've been away, I haven't read about Him, haven't prayed to Him, haven't talked with Him, I need to reconnect with Him. That might be what it is right now for you. And maybe you've never had that conversation with Him. And I don't care if you come to this altar rail or if you do it right where you're sitting there in the pew, but the fact is, He wants, He yearns for you to find hope in Him. And now's the time to bow down. The Scriptures tell us even kings will offer up their crowns. And so we worship Him as we bow down.